The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
All right, good morning, everyone. So good to see you today. I hope you brought your Bible with you or you have access to a Bible. I need you to look at three verses before we get to the message. The first one is found in Psalm 146. Psalm 146. And I would like us to look at verse 5 from this Psalm. Psalm 146 and verse 5. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject of happiness. All right, happiness. And so let's begin in Psalm 146. We'll start at verse 5. And here the psalmist says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." All right, now go to the next book in the Bible. Book of Proverbs, and turn with me, please, to chapter 16, Proverbs 16, and I would like to read verse 20, Proverbs 16 and verse 20. And here Solomon says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." All right, so look now at one more verse, and that's Proverbs 29. Go over to Proverbs 29, and I want to look at verse 18. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. This is a familiar verse to many people. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." All right, let's pray together, and then I want to speak to you on the subject of happiness. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for the privilege to open the sacred book. And Father, I pray that you will bless us today in a great way. I pray you'll help me as I speak, and I pray that you will bless the folks as they listen. And Father, just give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to our hearts today. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all you've done for us. And now I pray you'll do a real work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to just be happy all the time? Raise your hand. Come on. Come on. All right. Well, forget it. That's not going to happen. All right. I know we'd like to be, but it's not going to happen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of happiness, though. And I want you to give me your attention for a little bit. And I think if ever there was a misunderstood concept, it is in the area of happiness. For instance, what would make one person happy would not make someone else happy. All right. We're all individuals. And we all have things that would make us happy, and they're not always the same things. All right, let me give you an example. Here's a man who thinks if he only had money, that he would be happy. So he works hard, and he gets money, gets all that he could ever want, but yet he finds that he is still not happy. Well, that's the way it works. What makes one person happy does not make another person happy. And many times what you think is going to make you happy, when you get it, you realize that you still have not achieved happiness in your life. Now, there's no doubt that most people want happiness. People today go to psychiatrists and therapists and counselors and gurus and health clubs and vacation spas, and they're looking for the happiness that just always seems to elude them. And the simple truth of the matter is that most of our ideas of happiness many times conflict with the biblical idea of happiness. Now, let's see what we can come up with in these verses looking at the matter of happiness. I'm going to discuss the subject of happiness with you this morning by asking just a couple of questions. First of all, where do we find happiness? Where do we find happiness? And you know, when you get down to the heart of the matter, there are really only two sources to find happiness. The first is the world. The world. People seek after happiness in the world. And you know, the world does have a lot to offer. The world has a lot to offer, and many people go to the world looking for happiness. But I want to just say up front, the world has no solutions. There is a verse of scripture in Hebrews 11:25, and that verse says that yes, there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. You see, it's not going to last. And the nature of sin is that eventually it gets its hooks in you, and you try to get free from it, and you find that you cannot get free from it. I have had through the years so many people who have come to see me, and they've said, Pastor, now that I'm saved, I need to quit smoking. And I will say to them, yes, you do. You smell like an ashtray. No, I've never said that, but I wanted to. Yes, you do need to quit smoking. I mean, just common sense. It's going to kill you. Says so on the pack. Why would you ever even start if you know something is going to kill you? And so they'll say, can you help me to stop smoking? And I say, oh, well, how many times have you tried? 1,000. Or more. And the reason that it's so difficult is because that sin gets its hooks in you. And when you try to get free from it, you find out that you cannot do it. It just keeps drawing you back. And it's the same way with alcohol. It's the same way with drugs. You see, the world has no solutions. People try the bottle. They try alcohol. But alcohol only gives a temporary happiness. And a lot of folks don't realize that the happiness that alcohol gives is not a lasting happiness. As a matter of fact, the effects wear off. And then the way alcohol works is it has a triple effect. It stimulates. That's the euphoria of alcohol, and then it negates. That's when you're asleep, you passed out drunk, and then it depresses, and that's when you have the hangover the next day. You see, alcohol is not the answer. People try drugs. They try pornography. They think if they join some kind of a gang, or they'll get into gambling. They're up in the People's Republic of Maryland, they will announce advertise on the radio on 680. They play Rush Limbaugh, and so at lunchtime I will turn that on, and they'll advertise going to the casino down in Baltimore. And then immediately after the commercial comes on, this guy comes on speaking 900 miles a second, and he says that gambling can be addictive. And if you're having a gambling problem, you need to call this number, and they do it in like 10 seconds. So you better be listening if you want to get the message. But you cannot escape some of these vices when they get their grip in you. So God has a method, has a way to help us to be happy. And the first part of that is to stay away from sin. Stay away from those things that can get their grip in your flesh. But you see, folks, when the party is over, and then there is nothing but the remaining factor of guilt that leaves you more empty and even more hollow than before, then you find yourself unhappy. Now, here's how sin works. Let me give you the cycle of sin. Here it is, very simply. Number one, sin always starts with a suggestion. Now catch that. Sin always starts with a suggestion. Number two, suggestion becomes a desire. Number three, desire becomes an intent. Number four, an intent becomes an act. Number five, an act becomes a memory. And then number six, a memory becomes another suggestion. And what you do is you start the whole process over again. And that is why people start sinning. And when they do, they'll start doing drugs, they'll start gambling, they'll start smoking, they'll start whatever. And sin always starts with a suggestion. It then becomes a desire. The desire becomes an intent. An intent becomes an act. An act becomes a memory. And memory becomes another suggestion. And this is why sin just keeps digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And this is why or how it becomes easier to sin as you go on. So young people, the bottom line is the world has no solutions. But then there's a second place where you will find happiness. And the second place, the second source for happiness is God. You see, the amazing fact is God has the solutions for all of our problems. For all of the problems that this old sinful world carries with it, God has the answers. For all the problems of the Christian life, God has the answers. The amazing thing is that God has so arranged things that He is the solution. In Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need." He did not say needs. He said all your need. All wrapped up in one package. God will supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm just simply saying, folks, God is the solution. He is, He not only has the solution, but He is the solution. So no matter what problem you might have, happiness is only going to come as from your God. Now, secondly, where do we find happiness? Well, true happiness can only be found in a proper relationship with God. In all three of these verses that I read for you a few moments ago, in each and every one of them, we are confronted with the fact that if we want happiness in our lives, we must be rightly related to God and to His Word. We have to be. That's the only way that you're going to find happiness. And the Scriptures amplify this thought consistently. let me say it to you this way. Catch this. This is important. Our overriding goal should not be to seek happiness. Our overriding goal should be to seek a right relationship with God. You see, if we're looking for happiness and we have happiness as the goal, the devil's going to make sure you never get there. You say, well, what do I do? I want to be happy. You get right with God and stay right with God. Every day, get in your Bible and learn the truth of God. Every day, spend time with the God that redeemed you, that reached down in the pit and lifted you out. Get to know that God, and you'll find happiness will come your way. I am never going to be happy if I am just all consumed with being happy. That's self-centeredness. And it's a deceptive idea. What I need to do and what you need to do is reject the idea of being happy and adopt the idea of being Christ-like. All right? Being Christ-like. Let me say it this way. Personal happiness must be seen as a byproduct and not a goal. A byproduct of being right with God. The goal of happiness is forever elusive regardless of one's strategy. But the byproduct of happiness is wonderfully available to those whose goal is to please the Lord at every step. Now, a little while ago, I asked you how many of you folks want to be happy all the time. And from what I could see up here, most of you raised your hand. And all of you just sort of quickly raised your hand and you smiled a little bit. And then I said to you, forget it. It's impossible. And it is. I'm not being facetious. It is. The simple truth is we live in a world that is just filled with sin and guilt and despair and disease and death. The world is looking for some euphoric age where men can be happy all the time, even if they have to drink and drug themselves to be happy. But it will never happen. There is no such world here. Can you imagine going to a funeral home to pay your respects to a family member and someone that you spent your life with, someone that you loved? Can you imagine going to the funeral home and not grieving? Well, of course you're going to grieve. That's part of life. All right? Can you imagine you are huddled around the hospital bed and the doctor just told you that you have a cancerous tumor in your liver and at best you have 3 months to live? Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to experience happiness at that moment. That news is going to knock your socks off. That news is going to bring a tear to your eye. Now, Satan would have us to believe that we can be, that we ought to be, because we're Christians, that we just ought to be happy all the time. And then when we're not, then Satan starts working on us and telling us how bad of a Christian we really are. But the truth is, the more you seek happiness, young people, the harder it is to find. Happiness can only be found as a byproduct of being in fellowship with God. And then thirdly, I want to ask you, what is or what should be the goal of every believer? What should be my goal, your goal? I'll tell you what it is. Every believer has a twofold function. Number one, to offer the sacrifice of worship to God. That's spending time with God. When we think of worship, we think of gathering in a church building and singing worship hymns. I'm not talking about that kind of worship. You know, there are some things that you can do better alone with God than in a group. And I just happen to believe that you can worship God better alone than you can anywhere else. That's just my personal feeling. We call Sunday morning the worship service. Why don't we call Sunday night the worship service? I mean, we do the same thing on Sunday morning as we do on Sunday night. Why don't we call Wednesday night the worship service? You see, worship is when you are giving praise and honor and appreciation and adoration to God. And I'm telling you, you can do that better by yourself than you can in any other way. Secondly, our responsibility, our job is to offer, number two, the sacrifice of service to others. All right, so we're to offer the sacrifice of worship to God, and we are to offer the sacrifice of service to others. Now, wait a minute. I said a moment ago that happiness was not to be our goal, but Christ-likeness is to be our goal. Let me ask you a question. Who best lived his life performing this twofold function that I just mentioned? The sacrifice of worship to God and the sacrifice of service to others. Who best performed those two? I'll tell you who it was. It was Jesus, our Savior. And if I want to please God at every moment, then I must centrally be occupied with worship and service. Worshiping God, staying right with Him, staying close with Him, in His Word every day. I mean, if I want to find happiness, that happiness comes as a byproduct of me being right with God and serving others, just like our Savior did. I hope you see, young people, that we are right at the heart of the Christian life in this matter. The reason that so many Christians are not happy, and they're depressed, and they're tired, and they're apathetic, is because there is no daily striving to be like Jesus. We should study the Word and read the Word every day. That's function number one. That's worship. And then we should be in church. Hey, that's worship. Be faithful to the house of God. And then, as we are, we're going to find ourselves more like Jesus. And then we should be, oh, get ready. Get ready. We should be loving, kind. Loving, kind, caring, compassionate, forgiving, thoughtful, gracious, meek, humble towards others. Towards others. And when we are, we're going to find ourselves performing function number two, and that's service. You'd be surprised how just a kind word will make a difference in someone's life. You'd be surprised how just a pat on the back will make a difference in someone's life. Man, I wish I was happy. Well, you can forget it, my friend, if that's what you're after. What you ought to be saying is this: man, I'm going to be more like Jesus. I'm going to get in this book and I'm going to read it and I'm going to learn it and I'm going to love it. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to hide it in my heart so I won't sin against God. And then you become more like Jesus. When I got saved, I had to learn to speak again. Just about every other word that came out of my mouth before I was saved was a curse word. When I got saved, I had to learn to control my anger. I went to Bob Jones. I got over it, but I went to Bob Jones. And I got there early because I was on work scholarship. And so after we got all that stuff done, we went over and played basketball. And I stole the ball from this one guy. I was a point guard. He was a point guard. And every time he'd bring the ball down, he did the same thing. And so I would jump and I would intercept his pass, either a bounce pass or he would try to throw it. And I would intercept it, run down, score. And so after about three or four times of doing that, he got angry. And when I went down to lay the ball in the rim, he undercut me. And I ended up landing on my back, holding the ball. It knocked the air out of me. I love that when that happens, don't you? You know, trying to breathe. And he ran into the mat behind the board. And then as he ran past me, he looked down and smirked. Well, man, I didn't care where I was at that point. And I jumped up and I took that ball and I said, hey. And he turned around and I tried to decapitate him with that ball. Now, you talk about ringing somebody's bell. You get hit in the forehead with a basketball. And then all of a sudden, I remembered where I was. But man, that felt good. And I'm sitting there or standing there thinking, uh-oh. And that little yuck-yuck got me 25 demerits. Yeah, it didn't turn out like I thought it was going to turn out. And my roommate said to me, some of the wisest advice I ever got, my roommate said to me, hey, you can't act like that and be a pastor. I mean, some church member comes, you're going to knock his head off? And back then I thought, well, I just might. But you can't do that. I would not even think of doing something like that today. Why? Well, because this book has changed my life. I'm happy today. I'm happy in Jesus. And I want you to be happy too. Make yourself available to God. Love the Lord. Love the Word. And happiness will be a byproduct.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.